Wem.
And I'm Lewis.
This is the Forest School Podcast.
Let's go! We're up in the woods. We're under cover so no birds can poop on you.
Oh my god. Never again, man. Never again.
Okay. Straight in. I gave you the hypothetical question yesterday. Mm-hmm. For people that don't know, there's been a bit of a kerfuffle in the UK at the moment. There have been a load of schools built with a specific type of concrete, and there's a report that's just come out that said, this type of concrete is unsafe as of now. And so loads of schools are in this really tricky situation. On top of all the schools already in the UK, there's something like a third of schools in the UK have one, like, written off building, at least one.
Oh, really? I didn't know how high the figures were.
Without this concrete thing.
Oh, without
it's,
that.
It's
wow.
Really high. And then this, the concrete thing is like 300 or 400 schools, which is bad, but not, you know, every school in the country. But I posed to you yesterday, like, what if this hypothetical situation happened where they just went, we're going to condemn them and we're going to rip them down straight away, or, you know, they all fall down, but everyone's safe. It's all fine. Mm-hmm. And then they go, okay, this is a bit like after World War II in the Scandi countries where they had to work out, oh, what we're going to do for these school things. We've got the buildings. And they come to us as outdoor education leaders and go, we just need a classroom space, learning space. You guys are already doing that. Can you design the school for us?
With a real outdoor focus.
With an outdoor focus.
So you don't get the same kind of problem again.
Yeah.
Building a cheap, rubbishy building out of some horrible... Because this is an ongoing thing, not just for schools as well, isn't it? It's like buildings being put up really cheaply, badly, unsafely.
Grenfell-y.
And then it just being an absolute disaster with horrible consequences. So I guess the suggestion is, so there's no buildings now. They are, but they're like minimal structures and you're making the most of the outdoors. But how you do that in our kind of climate and with the kind of expectations that people have about what school should look like and all that kind of thing, to try and kind of erase the entire slate and start again. I guess, like, I wonder if there would be, to start off, would there be a difference, do you think, in the design needs of a primary and a secondary school?
100%.
So what do you think those differences would be?
I think in the UK, so the system we have here, once you hit secondary is where I would say you lose the large, the sort of like, topic-based learning. It's slightly more holistic in primary school, just in the sense of, like, we're doing Romans, so maths will be Roman themed and PE will be Roman games and DT will be building Roman things. And, like, once you hit secondary, it becomes a lot more, or from what I understand, it becomes a much more discrete. The subjects don't interact with each other. Well, they do interact, but they are kind of taught a lot more discreetly. And so I think, as well as the equipment needs to facilitate those, that higher level of learning, I think you would need to do them differently.
Unless you put the entire system in the bin and go, we're not going to teach discrete subjects anymore. We're just going to be in like this. So this is a way that some schools do it. It's quite rare. But I've had to do it once when I think it actually was a buildings problem. I was working in a school where they're having a lot of building work done. And so in the interim period before the new block opened, so this was a secondary school, the class would stay where they were and the teachers would move.
Okay.
Which was fine and very calm.
I've seen that done as like a behaviour thing.
Yeah, it's very calming. But then the teacher, you know, if you've got like a very interactive lessons with lots of bits and pieces, lots of resources
you are carting
that around. So like, what do you do? Give like the teachers a trolley or something? Like another thing about these buildings is like access needs of students. So a lot of these buildings are, you know, there's the kind of 1960s and 70s ones that are all like crumbling, but there are also Victorian buildings.
Repurposed
where,
stuff.
Where, well, not repurposed, like purpose just, built, yeah, but yeah, just yeah. built in a different age where they're not, you know, giving any consideration for somebody who maybe can't use like three flights of stairs. Mm-hmm. In cities, especially, there's loads of Victorian kind of red brick schools, which are like three stories high and they're primary schools, you know, and it's really weird. So yeah, that idea of like having, making the space more flexible and kind of working around the child and the teacher and the resources needed. So, I mean, so you could design a really lovely, flexible space in which a class group would stay for most of the day. I think, first of all, it's got to be bigger than you think it should be.
And when you say a classroom space, do you mean like a covered area?
Yeah, I think a covered area, and I think it's got to be... really quite big, but zoned. So you've got to have space to be able to do some really physical stuff. Like the amount of times I was teaching English and I was like, I actually don't want any desks or chairs right now, even though we are doing English, which is perceived to be quite a sort of static reading and writing type subject. There were loads of times where I was like, right, okay, everyone, can we move all the desks to the side? We're going to do this like bit of Shakespeare stood up and moving around.
Yeah, half a classroom because they're all stacked
so
up.
So tiny. And also, yeah, some people... they're, you know, they learn better when they're not sat at a desk anyway. So to be able to have the space where you've got some seats and tables, but you've also got an area clear of that the entire time to just be able to move to would be great without having to move any furniture. I think you have got to kind of insulate it from the weather, because I think that for some people being outside is a challenge and it will take them a long time to get used to it. So I think you've got to somehow design a structure that has at least one bit of it that it is really well insulated and protected from the elements. But being able to see the outdoors all the time from the room, in inverted commas room,
well,
I think is very important.
So I had two immediate thoughts. One was about sound, because like you're saying about, there's lots of schools that are two, three stories high. Once you flatten that to potentially, you know.
Yeah, you're going to need a lot of space.
You're going to need a lot of space. But, okay, so hey, I'll get to the second bit. So the first bit I thought was about sound. And I remembered that when I was seeing if I wanted to be a teacher, I worked in a school that was, it was an octagonal school.
Oh, yeah.
So there was one massive building, the primary school, and you moved round the circle. So the buildings were all, like, the classrooms were all wedge-shaped.
I know one like that. And it's Panopticon. Is it Panopticon?
No.
Like a prison, so you can see everything every time.
Well, this is what I was going to say. So the walls didn't completely screen. You know, they weren't like solid blocks in between the classrooms. You could draw, they were like those concertina wall things. So sound would go through and all this stuff, and occasionally you'd get some stuff going through. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting. And I was talking to one of the teachers and I remember them saying when they built the school, like redesigned it and built it like that, it took a while for the children to get used to the fact and the culture to get used to the fact that, like, hey, you can't necessarily scream and shout and bang and do whatever, because not only is that disruptive to your class, but it's also disruptive to other classes. But also then it meant that they said it was really interesting because the other teachers then were more in tune with each other in terms of, like, sounds like you had a tricky afternoon. Oh, okay. They could, like, offer support with each other. You know, it was quite...
That was usually me. Like, people going, what was happening in your classroom this afternoon? Are you okay? I always was okay. It was more that some jokes had been told and then the response was to drum on the floor with feet. But anyway.
So I thought about that. I thought about sound and about how you would need to be prepared for a culture shift in terms of, like, distraction potentially and, like, screening off, and whether you do screen off or you don't screen off and you just change, you know, like, that would be an interesting culture shift and something that I think you could design for. But what I also thought was, yeah, so you take these, like, two, three-story buildings and you squash it flat, you're going to need more space. But there's something culturally as well that you could do where you could blur the lines then between recreational time and learning time, because the current system has red brick, stereotypically, red brick building, three, four stories high, that is where the learning is done, and then enormous sports fields that are like either a little walk from the school or like separate or like all the way around the school and whatever else. But imagine how different it would be if you had, so, you know, have you seen those structures where it's like a parachute, not dissimilar to ours, but it's held up by posts, like freestanding. If you had those dotted all over sports fields, so they wouldn't be sports fields anymore, but dotted all over and in between that, like, okay, change over, we're going to do maths in a minute, that the students would be able to wander and we'd be able to walk past and potentially even interact with, like, oh, what have they been doing in that classroom? Oh, I can see the materials. It's not like, you know, you could walk past and go, oh, wow, look, they've had that out in that classroom. Oh, they've had that. And like in that intermittent change of time, you're not kind of like boxing people in and out. You're opening it up to some exploration, some, I'm not saying you would let the students in and, you know, they play with everything in the meantime, but I think there's something about seeing what year four have been doing when you're in year one, or seeing what, you know, what have the biology class has been doing this morning in a non-discreet way. You don't need to be invited into the classroom, or you say, you know, it's like, oh, wow. And then you see those things coming and, oh, I remember seeing that thing in the classroom a few years ago and that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like real blur that line. I think that would be an interesting culture shift. You're saying about weather, I think it would be really interesting to see what schools did in terms of tree planting, because I think you would have to employ tree planting as a long-term solution to be like, okay, we're going to be doing hedgerows, we're going to be doing evergreen trees, we're going to be like essentially terraforming this site for wind. If nothing else, we're going to be going, this school grounds now doesn't have a building, but it does have big bank of trees on the northwest side, or it does have that sort of thing, which I think would just be an interesting consideration for a lot of school sites to suddenly have to go, oh, okay, not where's the best space in terms of space.
Yeah, well, you don't also have to be prepared for like having to close or having alternatives in, you know, in stormy weather. So I think you'd end up being a lot more, just like Forest School, being responsive to the conditions of the day, slash week, slash season.
Do you think the shift we've had in the last few years to online learning would, I'm now thinking of a secondary level, that you could potentially, if you're saying about like there being spaces that you need to use or don't need to use, that you could more flexibly be like, yeah, the school site looks different now, so the students are only in for the morning. And particularly in bad weather, they might not come in all day and it becomes e-learning, and that becomes much more like regular and flexible and less of a like, oh my God, snow day, the school is shut. What do you think?
I think I've spoken to so many families who've had such terrible problems with e-learning, especially for younger children, that I think you would have to address some like massive wider issues in society before you could get that to work in terms of parent time, work, internet access, technology access.
Yeah, there's a lot of inequities, you know, people's, that would need,
if you're
to
thinking about like
sorted,
designing a classroom, then lots of people's homes aren't, they don't have the luxury of being able to have a quiet place where someone can do e-learning. Lots of people, you know, and older children as well, like, and speaking to teachers who've done a lot of e-learning where all of the children have their cameras off, so you don't even know if they're there and things like that. You know, it's very, I don't know, I think...
challenging.
I think flexibility is great, but I also think that giving children the kind of regularity of the face-to-face environment, if they can manage it, is great. Have you seen the robot things? Have you seen the... it's like a Head and Shoulders of a person, but it's a robot, and they can sit in the child's seat, and the child is connected to that through their laptop at home. So if they can't be in school for any reason, they, it's like they're there virtually,
like an avatar thing.
Yeah, school down the road has it. So if people are like off school, especially like long term, then they can literally be in the lessons live and see it through the eyes of the, it doesn't really look like a robot, it's just like a kind of oval shape, and you know, it hasn't got a face or anything, which is pretty amazing.
Do you think you would like, what would you think you need to do in terms of, like, so you could talk about insulating these, like, structures. Would you also imagine that there are wood-burning stoves, or are they, like, electrically heated, or are they...
Oh, God.
You know.
I don't know.
I think it's an interesting thing in terms of, like...
Air source heat pumps. They're all the rage these days, aren't they? But then you'd have to have the entire room, like, completely insulated, and then it is actually, like...
Just lots of temporary classrooms.
It's a school. Yeah. It's just a different version of what you had before.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? Especially with, like, younger children. There's so many forest kindergartens where little kids are outside all the time, all day.
Mm-hmm.
And there are challenges and rewards of that. But little kids move around loads. Like, they're harder to... They can't regulate their own body temperature as well. But they can be really active all the time and keep warm in lots of layers. Whereas if you imagine, like, school as it is right now, once you hit, like, 14, 15...
Yeah, pretty static.
You are pretty static. And that's, and rightly or wrongly, you know, that's just the kind of style of learning that we've ended up with now. And you do PE, and that's like, wah! And then you come back and sit still and listen and write. So, yeah, what would that look like in terms of... It's just like a complete redesign, isn't it? It's a complete and utter... I guess you're kind of describing like a blend of traditional mainstream school and forest school. There's like a, so you're not kind of going, hey kids, that school doesn't exist anymore. It's now forest school. It's some kind of outdoor school where there's still the capability of learning more traditional subjects, but in a more outdoor, nature-based environment.
I would be interested to know, because I have seen pictures of the, you know, the photographs of the early, like, outdoor, the air nurseries and the things, and the, it is literally, there's a squirrel trying to go in the water buck.
Oh,
you
my
see
gosh,
it?
It's going to drown. Get out.
It's just hanging down. It's just a butt sticking out of the top of the butt.
Oh, my Lord. It's thirsty. What are you doing? Do you think it's stuck? It's not moved.
No, I just watched it dip down.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, God, I nearly fell in. Oh, God.
He looked embarrassed. It's all right.
I've seen those pictures. You know when they're like, this is outdoor learning, and it is literally a row of desks outside with a blackboard outside, which the UK is so wet. That's the the difference. Is like, you can be in a country where it's like colder, but the UK is wet and like muggy and just damp, which is why historically it's been so like sought after, because where it's wet it grows stuff, right? But that presents challenges in terms of like sitting still. I would be interested to know if you did that sort of setup, so you went, okay, we're not actually going to insulate them, that's not what we're going to do, we're going to do like timber frame shelters with tarp walls and maybe like green roofs, right? So it's like all these like pergola bandstand type areas, right? But here's the change we're going to make. The lessons can be no longer than 25 minutes. And then everybody, teachers included, need to go for a walk around, get their bodies moving again. And we go like, yeah, there might be a log burner in each of these, or like a open fire space in these things. But the change that we have to make through the winter months is that lessons can be no longer than 20-25 minutes. They might be a double lesson, but you have to give students 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
And you and it's like a warm-up time, go and do the thing, and then, so you wouldn't do that like static thing of like go and sit down for an hour of maths, go and sit down for an hour of biology, go and sit. You would really be going, okay, we are in our bodies today, this is it. And also, you know, the amount of times that the amount of time that is spent in school, I think, getting students like ready to learn, right, and into that space. But if you, I mean, look, there's obviously potential downsides where people would get distracted and that they wouldn't necessarily then be ready for that. But I think some people would really benefit from like, my body is moved, my brain is full of like oxygenated blood, and actually now I don't need an hour to do an introduction and a cleanery and a lesson. Like, 25 minutes is actually all I need, because you're going march, you're stepping round. Mm. Okay, I'm warm. What do you know about this thing? Mm. My brain is firing on all cylinders. Mm-hmm. Charles Darwin used to go for walks, didn't he? Mm. He used to call them like three stoners or something, because he used to move a bit of flint with his foot every time he did a lap of his garden. Like you, mm. I think there would be a really interesting study if you could do that, but also do it out of necessity.
Yeah.
Because I think it would be different if you, in a brick and mortar school, said, yeah, we give students 5 to 10 minutes. Some of them sit in the cloakroom. Some of them hang out by the loos. I'm thinking teenager students now, you know, they are not active, versus like a necessity thing of like, okay, about 25 minutes in, you're starting to go, okay, I'd like to go now. Like, okay,
we're
going to do this thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just having a little daydream about food tech being like campfire cooking.
That would be pretty good.
It'd be so cute.
Oh, I would be interested, people, so there's a section on, if you're listening to this on Spotify, there's a section underneath where you can write little comments and you can answer questions. I'd be really interested to know what other little bits people have probably listened to this and gone, oh, I reckon you could do this as well. Or like, oh, I reckon I've worked in a school where they did this. I think I'd design my outdoor school like this. So if you've made it all the way through, have a look underneath and let us know what you think you would do.
Yeah.
Immense. Solved it. Bye.
Bye.